Hebrews chapter number 12. Again, we're going to focus on verses 14, 15, 16, and 17 as we look at a passage that is a continuation, I believe, from the verses we started on last week. So why don't we begin reading at verse number 11. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 11, the Bible says this: "Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." Verse 14 says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." I've entitled the message today, "Exercising Faith and Following God." Last week we studied those previous three verses under the theme, "Exercising Faith in God's Judgment." The message was that sometimes we will be corrected by our Heavenly Father, as our earthly father sometimes found the need when we were children to correct us. When our earthly father corrected us, he would generally come with a talking to. He would generally kind of talk to us first, an explanation of why the deed was being done. But we don't always know right away why God is doing what He's doing. You know, if it was as simple as, you know, when I correct my children and say, "It is because I ask you not to do this and you did it anyway, that I'm having to spank you, and it's going to hurt me, it's going to hurt you, but there's a lesson in it for us all." We don't have that same benefit with when God corrects us. We don't know right away. And as we studied last week, when we find ourselves in a situation where God is chastening or correcting us, there's a need to seek God's purpose. "God, what is it? What is it that you're seeking to teach me through this situation? What is it that I've done that's been outside of your plan, your will for my life, Father? Show me. Even though it doesn't feel so good, God, what is it that you want me to know? What is it that you want me to learn?" As we exercise our faith, as we're going through the judgment that God might bring upon us. Then secondly, we discuss that we need to practice. We need to practice what we've been preaching when we're going through a difficult time. That we need to not only endure the chastening of the Lord, but we also need to show our purpose. We need to show that we have learned about this God, that we've fallen in love with this God, that we purpose that we're going to follow this God, and we're going to show the world, our friends, our families, our enemies even, that we're just not talking a Christian talk, but that we're walking the Christian walk. That even during the difficult times, He is still God. And as people like to quote all the time, that God is good all the time. All the time. And we as Christians, we need to show our purpose, even during difficulties, that God is good all the time. In these next few verses, as Paul is nearing the end of his letter to the believing Jews that were spread about, Paul is encouraging us to tighten up our commitment to the Lord, I believe, to live for Him, and to purpose to follow Him. And that's what we're going to be looking at today as we look at how we might exercise our faith and follow God. First of all, the first point is this: we need to follow peace with all men. Let's go back again and read verse 14 of Hebrews 12. He says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Follow peace with all men. Paul is giving us instructions, I believe, for Christian living. He's already told us that every day will not be Sunday. He's laid it out pretty carefully for us. Every day is not going to be Sunday. And for the preacher who works on Sunday, we're thankful for that. But he's saying it's not every day is not going to be Sunday. It's not going to be rosy. It's not going to be a day of praise and worship. It will be a day of praise and worship, but it might not always feel like it should be a day of praise and worship, but we should always be in an attitude of praising and worshiping the Lord. That we're going to experience life. Even believers, we're not going to get saved and be shielded from life, but we're going to experience life, and that there are going to be some difficulties in our pathways. And that we're going to experience some chastening where God corrects us. And why is God going to do it? He's going to do it for our profit, the Bible says. For our profit, not for His pleasure. Now Paul says that we should be prepared for how we respond. How will we live our lives? We need to respond, prepare ourselves for the response of how we're going to live our lives as ambassadors for Christ. How will we live? We will live. How ought we to live? We ought to live as ambassadors for Christ. Now the word translated here is follow in Hebrews 12 verse 14. It's translated in other places as persecute or as persecution, as pursue, as ensue. So follow here is another one of those action words that God has given us. He's not just saying, I want you to read your Bible and do what it says. But God is saying here, I want you to be actively involved in following peace with all men. I want you to persecute peace like people persecute Christians. If you were to look back in your Bible, you'll see several times that word is used. It's almost in an attack mode. And what God is telling us is that we need to attack peace. Now, where will peace be found? There are people who are looking for peace all over this world. Our president is meeting with presidents from all over this world, mostly in the Middle Eastern area right now, and they're all talking about peace. But we know that there will only be peace through the message of Christ. There'll be peace in no other format other than through the message of Christ. So you and I can seek peace one to another as we know God in the same way. We can minister to other people who are out there who are in need of a relationship with the Lord in the same way. And we can follow or persecute or ensue or pursue peace as God has ordained that we are to do. Paul says, if you're going to exercise your faith, you're going to exercise your faith and follow God. He says, pursue peace. Persecute it with all men, no matter who the players are. And there will always be some disagreements. I heard a man say one time, if a man and wife say they never have disagreements as husband and wife, he says one of them is a cabbage head. One of them has no opinion. Because there's going to be disagreements no matter who you are. No matter who you are. But God says when you come across these disagreements, guess what you got to do? You got to pursue peace. In the church, we have to pursue peace. In the body of believers, we have to pursue peace. And God tells us why we have to. Because if we don't, guess what? The door will be wide open to our enemies. He says we need to pursue peace. No matter whether you're your managers, your co-workers, your manager to employee relationships, no matter who it is, we need to pursue peace. And God says here to the believers, we are to pursue peace with all men. And we need to have the reputation of being a people who pursue peace. I was talking with some kids yesterday and they were talking about working in a restaurant. And they made the point that they said that one of the worst days, one of the days people hated to work most of all is Sunday. Because the church people show up. That's a terrible testimony. That's a terrible testimony. And this really applies even there. We need to pursue peace. We need to follow after it. We need to have a reputation of being a people of grace. Not a people of great difficulty. But he says here, Paul, who authored this letter for us, Paul is giving us some great advice, some great counsel. And Paul here is a man who experienced moments where there were a lot of disagreements, where there were disagreements, and he was able to move things to a peaceful state. Now, I want to show you one of those as we talk about following peace. Look in Acts, if you would, chapter 15. It's on page 816 in your pew Bibles. Acts chapter number 15. Skip down, if you would, to verse number 25. Acts chapter number 15. Verse number 25. Starting kind of right in the middle of a story, but it's difficult to find a good place to start there. It says, Horace says 24. All right, let's go there. It says, forasmuch as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it establishes here that Paul and Barnabas were men who were exercising their faith. They had given themselves over to God, and they had even put themselves in harm's way to be servants to God, to share the gospel with others. Verse 27 says, we have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. For Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried their space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. So now here's a little disagreement they're about to go into. And if we were to go back, I believe it's in Acts chapter 13, we'll see where Paul, Barnabas, and this young man, John Mark, were on a mission together. And Mark decided that he was going to leave before the work was finished, and he did not go on with them to the next work. And Paul did not like this. But here they are now about to go out and check on the churches, and Barnabas wants to take John Mark with them. Paul says no. And verse 39 shows us that we're not always going to be in a situation where we always agree in the church. It says, and the contention was so sharp between them. In other words, they had words about it. And the Bible doesn't go into detail exactly what happened, but it says the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. There was a sharp disagreement, the Bible says. There was a sharp disagreement. But I believe that they had a purpose, that they knew that the work still had to be done. It was about the Lord's will, doing the Lord's will. And Paul and Barnabas could have stood there head to toe, going at it. And guess what could have happened? Neither one of them could have followed through on the service of the Lord. But instead, what these two men did is they came to an agreement and says, you know what? There's great work to be done in the kingdom of God. You go one direction, we'll go the other direction. We'll check in on the churches, and we will do the Lord's will. We will follow peace. What I got out of this was that God is telling us that sometimes there are going to be disagreements. But as brothers and sisters in the Lord, we can find workable answers. We can find workable solutions that will allow us to continue on in service to the Lord. You know, the most important thing, guys, is this, that we agree on those things that are non-negotiable. Amen. That we agree that Christ was born of a virgin, that God sent the Holy Ghost and overshadowed Mary, and she gave birth to a child whose name was Jesus Christ, who had been prophesied from the beginning of the world. This man, Jesus Christ, came into this world. He lived a righteous life for us. He died for us to bear the sins of the whole world. He allowed them to take him to that cross. He allowed them to hang him there until he died. He allowed them to bury him in that borrowed tomb, and God raised him up from the dead for his glory and for our sake. And through Jesus Christ, we can be saved. All other things we can talk about and we can negotiate so that we can serve the Lord. Follow peace. Follow peace. Pursue it, he says, with all men. I tell you what, God tells us there's a blessing in it. If we'll follow peace. Look at Matthew chapter 5. That's the Beatitudes. In Matthew chapter 5, that's on page 705 in your pew Bibles. Matthew chapter 5, just one verse we'll pull out there as Christ was talking in his Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. We are to pursue peace. We are to pursue peace. Follow peace with all men. Let me show you. I want to show you three things I think that we can, we most definitely need to follow peace. We need to pursue peace, first of all, in our worship. We need to pursue peace in our worship. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, I told you there are some things that are non-negotiable. And we need to praise the Lord. We need to know those things that we believe in. And we need to not let anybody be able to shake us from the things that we know to be true. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, page 849 in your pew Bibles. Skip down, if you would, to verse number 20. We need to pursue peace in our worship. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20, the Bible says this, "Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord." Now God has given us a great lesson here. And there's a huge lesson in verse number 21, and I don't want you to miss it. He says, "All right, I need you to understand that I have given you the way that I'm going to do things in the law." And he says, "I prophesied it all way back yonder when I wrote the law, so there's nothing new under the sun." So he says here in verse number 21, "I wrote it in the law that there were going to be other tongues. With men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord." He says, yes, there's going to be tongues. I'm going to use them for the purpose of speaking to my people. Verse 22, he says, "Wherefore tongues are not for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe." And I tell you what, if you just look at if you look at some of these television ministries, they got it all backwards. If they were just to read this verse here, they probably turn the lights off on their own ministries. Because God is saying here, you know, they like to stand up and speak in tongues. He says, the tongues are not for those that are believers. I mean, that's what God, he says, it's for those that believe not. It's so that he can get the message out to them. And it's not so you can get unknown tongues to them, but so that you can speak to them in the language that they speak. Amen. And then he says, the prophesying, why are you going to go and prophesy to people who don't know God? He says, what are you doing that for? He says, prophecy are for those who know God, who are looking for him. He says, but you got it all confused. Now, verse number 23, he says, "If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad, that you're crazy?" He says. You ever been to a crazy church? I have. where you thought, oh my goodness, these people are crazy. Well, God says that's exactly what it's all about. He said people will come in and they'll say you're all crazy. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of the heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. What is he saying? We need to follow peace in our worship. He says if we all come in here with a different agenda, we all come in here saying, you know what, today I'm going to be glorified in the service, including me. He says if we all come in here today saying, I'm going to be glorified. I got a word for you from the Lord. I got a word of prophecy. I got a revelation. He says if you come with all of those things, he says, let me tell you what, you're not going to be seeking to edify God. And God is the one who needs to be praised. He says, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by a two, or at the most by a three, and that by course, and let one interpret. What's the course? That one be brought to an understanding of the knowledge of God. He says, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but what? But of peace, as in all churches of the saints. In our worship, we gotta follow after, we gotta pursue peace. When we come together, we gotta believe one thing. And worship one God in one way, in spirit and in truth. We need to pursue peace in our discipleship or in our outreach. Look at Mark chapter 9. It's on page 740 in your pew Bibles. In our outreach, we need to pursue peace. Mark chapter 9, page 740 in your pew Bibles. Matthew, Mark, then Luke and John. Mark chapter 9, skip down if you would to verse number 38. Mark chapter 9, verse number 38. The Bible says, and John answered him, he's talking to Christ, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us. And we forbade him, because he followed not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. So he says, you know what? There needs to be some peace in our discipleship, in our outreach. He says there might be people who are of a like faith that might not be of our body, of our body, of Harvesters Baptist Church. But we can partner with them because they are speaking of the same Jesus Christ. He says he doesn't need to walk alongside us, but spiritually he's walking alongside of us. Verse number 41, he says, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him than a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he were cast into the sea. And if any hand offend thee, cut it off, for it is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Now, do you get an impression that God wants us to know exactly what hell is going to be like? That in every situation, he says, here's what it's going to be like. He said, you don't want to be in hell with 2 feet. You don't want to, with where one of them has led you there. You don't want to be in hell with 2 hands where one of them has brought you there. You don't want to be in hell with 2 eyes where one of them has saw your way there. He says, because hell is a place where all worms, anything that irritates the body is the way that I'm interpreting that. All the worms, all the sicknesses, everything that you had, you're going to take it with you and it's going to stay with you. He said, it doesn't die and the fire is never quenched. Hell is not going to be a pretty place. Amen. It's not going to be a pretty place. And look what he says here in verse number 49. We need to pursue peace in our outreach. I believe that. He says in verse 49, for everyone shall be salted with fire. Now that's a continuation of the previous verse where he says, if your eye offends you, pluck it out, because it's better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two. He says, because there the worm doesn't die and the fire is not quenched. And he says, everyone shall be salted with fire. Everyone shall be salted with fire. Everyone who finds themselves in hell, you know what salt does? What does it do? It preserves. So God is saying everything that you're bringing to hell is going to be preserved. And how's it going to be preserved? With fire. Oh my. That's what God says. But he also says, look at what he says for those who are willing to shake it all off. He says, but every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. It's going to be preserved, but not with fire. He says, salt is good. But if the salt has lost its saltness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Man. He says we need to follow after peace in our outreach and in our discipleship. And then finally, we need to follow or pursue peace in our day-to-day living. Look in Romans chapter number 12. That's on page 838 in the Pew Bibles. You're in Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, and then there's Romans. Romans chapter 12. Skip down, if you would, to verse number 9. We need to pursue peace in our day-to-day living. Exercise our faith in God and pursue peace. Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse number 9. Here's what the Bible says. He says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, giving to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. God is saying here, if we want to pursue peace, he says sometimes we have to climb down off of our high horse and we just need to be right where people are and be what they need. Be what they need at the time that they need it. Verse 17, he says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, you live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. He says, pursue peace. Why? Because getting even ain't your job, if I could put it like that. He says, because your job is to be ambassadors of Christ. To go in God's stead. Do as he would do. And what did Christ do? He took on all the sins of the whole world onto himself. Follow peace with all men. That's good. Now finally, we are to follow holiness with all men. Go back to Hebrews, if you would, 12. Hebrews 12, verse 14 again. we are to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Verse 15, he says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Follow holiness. In these short verses, Paul shows us the justice of the Lord and the opportunity that he gives us all, and that we will not be able to stay true to God without some work. He shows us that God is just. And this is perhaps one of the most difficult things for many people to wrap their hands around, that God is just. He is so just that he does exactly what he promised to do. He blesses those who bless him, and he curses those who curse his word. He is so just that he does exactly what he said he would do. Here we get to see God's justice. We also get to see God's grace. And we also get to see that God says, if you're going to follow holiness, it's going to take a little work. First of all, the work. He says, pursue it. Because without holiness, no man is going to see the Lord. Holiness is, and holiness always has been, God's desire for his people. Look at Exodus 19. Exodus 19 is the beginning of the story of God selecting his people. That's on page 60 in your pew Bibles. That's the beginning of God's selection of the people, of God declaring to the people that he would be their God. In Exodus 19, beginning at verse number 1, we see God's call for his people to be holy. Exodus 19, beginning in verse number 1, it says, In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. Here's God's message. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare ye on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, here's the work. Here's the pursuit of holiness. If you will obey my voice, indeed, God says, and keep my covenant, there's the second portion of work, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. There's the justice of God. He says, all right, I want you to understand that my expectation is that you will obey my voice, that you will keep my covenant, and then I will declare you to be a peculiar treasure. You'll be a people above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me. I like this. This is the first place, I believe, where God declares this of you and I. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a kingdom of those who are able to bring their sacrifices, their praises, their offerings before the Lord. He says, you shall be a kingdom of priests, and you shall be a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. God says, I want you to be a holy people. I want you to obey my voice. I want you to hear my commands. I want you to keep my covenant. And see, he says, I'm going to make you a peculiar treasure. Follow after holiness. Work for it. Pursue after it. For without holiness, God says very clearly, no man shall see the Lord. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And we need to pursue it. We need to make choices that will lead us to holiness. Make choices that will lead us to holiness. You know what that means? Sometimes the choices are tough ones. Sometimes it means we have to push people aside, he says. But we need to make a choice that we're going to be holy unto the Lord. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, that's on page 855 in your pew Bibles. Skip down, if you would, to verse number 14. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Last week, as we looked at exercising our faith in God's judgment, we looked at some of the previous verses in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. I believe we read all the way down to verse number 13. So let's pick up now at verse number 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Sometimes, if we're going to pursue holiness, we have to make some difficult choices. And I tell you what, as we were at the graduation yesterday, and I have not verified this statistic, so I don't know that it to be true, but I don't doubt that there is much truth in it, whether the number, complete number, is correct or not. But a young preacher stood up and said that 96% of high school graduates from a traditional high school, 96% of them would fall completely away from God, away from the church, and would not go back. That's a troubling statistic. But you know, one reason why I believe that such a statistic exists, excuse me, I got a little tongue tied there, is because there are choices that need to be made. And if we're not prepared, if our children are not prepared to make these choices, then holiness will fall by the wayside and worldliness will take over. And God says we need to pursue holiness, that we need to persecute holiness just as we persecute peace. And it means we need to make some choices. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, at verse number 14, God tells us how we're going to need to make choices towards holiness. If you remember how this chapter started, it says in verse 1, it says, "We then as workers together with him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain." That God has a heart for us. God wants us to live for him, to be holy, as he's told us, "Obey my voice. Hear my commands, obey my commandments, and I'll make you a peculiar treasure." Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, he says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Make a choice. You got to make a choice toward holiness. He says, "For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Now, if we marry that with what God said over in Exodus chapter number 19, my goodness, he says, "I want you to know that I will dwell in you and you will dwell in me. You'll be holy priests." He says, "But will you be holy? Will you make holiness your priority? Will you pursue it? Will you persecute it?" Verse 17, he says, "Wherefore come out from among them." Make a choice. "And be ye separate. Be ye peculiar, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Verse 1 of the next chapter, he says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting what? Holiness in the fear of God." Pursue it. Persecute it. Make choices toward holiness. For if we don't pursue holiness, if we don't look diligently for it, go back to Hebrews chapter 12. I want to show you this. I'm almost done. Hebrews 12, 14, 15, 16, 17, one more time. "For if we do not pursue holiness, if we do not make godly choices in friends and functions, what we see here, taste, touch, and smell, etc." God says here, he tells us what we ought to do, but he tells us what we ought to fear. For we do not pursue holiness. Verse 15, he says, if we do not look diligently, if we're not careful, he says, if we're not, look what can happen. He says, if we don't looking diligently, lest any man fall or fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. God says, if we do not look diligently for holiness, then we will fail. Or we will fall off. And God is not talking about losing salvation, because God never tells us that we can lose our salvation. But what I believe God is telling us is that we will fall off from the grace of God. We will fall from the work of the ministry, from the work of the gospel. We will lose our flavor to do the work of God. It will become unimportant, if I can put it that way. He says, if we don't do it, we'll fall. We'll fail. And guess what? There'll be little roots of bitterness that'll spring up. You know how powerful a root is. Let me tell you, roots are powerful, and God shows us that for a reason. You know, we bought this house over here, and we bought this house. It had a great big magnolia tree right next to it. Kathy and the kids loved that magnolia tree. It was beautiful. It had low branches, and it had been there forever. It had places where the girls could sit in it, and they could enjoy the shade, and it was a great place for possums to rest. That part I didn't like. But it was a beautiful tree. But guess what? That thing had roots. And the roots of that magnolia tree were trying to get down into the coolness of the basement of my house. There was some water down there, and the roots wanted it. And we had to get rid of the tree because the roots were so powerful that it was pushing the walls down of my house. Now, you think about that in the context of what God is saying here about these roots. He says, if you fall from your zeal of the work of the ministry, he says, if you allow something to get in and to disturb your love for God, if you don't look diligently for holiness, he says, there'll come up little roots. That'll begin to grow. That'll begin to tear at your foundation. That'll make it hard for you to stand up. The root will get all of your power. He says little roots of bitterness will step in, and they'll spring up, and they'll trouble you. And he says, and then many will be defiled. In other words, what I think God is saying here is that there are people out there who'll say, I saw that fellow. I don't know what happened to him. One day he was all high and mighty Christian. Next thing you know, he was just like you and me. Shows me that ain't no need of going towards this God thing, because it doesn't change anything. God says many will be defiled through the testimony of one. If we don't follow peace, if we don't follow holiness, if we don't look diligently towards God and towards the mission of God, he says, lest there be a fornicator or a profane person. And God says, let me show you. He gives us a great example of one who is profane. He says, oh, Esau was a profane fellow. And you know what Esau did? The Bible says Esau, what he did was that he gave up his birthright. And God says, you got to be careful. We got to be careful. He says, because we can lose the joy that God has given us for the right now. If we put so much emphasis on what's going on in our lives right now, Esau is an example. I want to show you one other thing, and we'll look at him a little closer. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 29. I want to show you this on page 172 in your pew Bibles. Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, excuse me, Numbers and Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 29. God says we need to be careful. He says, lest there be any fornicators, any profane persons. He gave us a great example. He says, otherwise you will fall from the work of God. He says, it's a warning. Take heed. In Deuteronomy 29, skip down to verse number 10. God gives us, I think, a great call to be committed to Him, totally committed, lest there be something that springs up and steers us away. He says, you stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, your captains of your tribes, your elders, your officers, with all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and thy stranger that is in thy camp, from the hewer of thy wood unto the drawer of thy water. Everybody was there. That thou shouldest enter into covenant with the Lord thy God, and into his oath, which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee a God, as he hath said unto thee, and as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. For you know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which ye passed by. And ye have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. Lest there should be any among you, man or woman or family or tribe, whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be any among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. There's that same example. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. And you know what God is saying here? He says there are some who be so bold that they will hear the word of God, and they'll say, you know what? I hear that, but I'm not worried about it. Me and God, we've got a deal going. God doesn't see me in my own time. When I'm ready, I'll come to God. We'll have this, you know, I'll have a change of my heart. He says, this person will bless themselves and say, I have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart. That's deception. To add drunkenness to thirst. He says, the Lord will not spare him, but the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. And the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law. What is God saying? God is saying, don't be so puffed up that you don't think you have to pursue after holiness. Don't be so puffed up that you don't believe that you need to be totally committed to God. Don't be so puffed up that you believe that you can just establish yourself to be blessed when God says those who are unbelievers. And that's what he's talking about there. Those who are unbelievers are cursed. And if they don't make a decision to follow after God while there's still blood and running through their bodies, God says they will be cursed forever. They'll be damned. All of the evil will be heaped upon them. That's kind of a frightening thought. Not for you and I, because we're saved from that if we're believers in Christ. But for those who are unbelievers, God says that's what it's going to be like. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit more about Esau before we close. But God cites for us an example of Esau. Go back to Hebrews 12. Two more places and then we'll put our Bibles away. Hebrews 12, one more time, verse 17. He cites for us Esau. So now God, we just seen what God says, a warning about if you follow after these gods, silver and gold and wood and stone, anything they make their gods out of, anything that you give up rather than to serve God, to exercise your faith in God and to serve Him, follow after Him wholly, pursue Him, pursue peace and holiness, God says there's going to be a problem. He cites for us Esau. Verse number 17, he says, for you know how, talking about Esau, for you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. The story goes that Esau, he was very hungry. He came in and his brother knew that he was a man who catered to what was right now. And he wanted some food. And his brother tricked him into giving away his birthright for a morsel of bread. And you know why Esau did it? Because it wasn't important to him. You know, that it was his old birthright. I'm a young man. Daddy's not going anywhere. He's healthy and strong. What's it all about? Right now, I need some food. Right now, I'm hungry. And he just gave it all away. God is making the same example for us. He's saying, in the right now, pursue peace and holiness in the right now. Because if we don't, we'll find ourselves in a position where roots of bitterness can build up and things can tear down our love for the Lord. He says, here's the situation Esau got himself in. He says, for we know that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, when he went to daddy, when it was time, and it was time for daddy to bless him, he wanted his birthright then because it was due him. But the Bible says he was rejected. And why was he rejected? Because daddy had already given the blessing away. He had given it to his brother. And it says, for he found no place of repentance. It's not saying that Esau could not repent, but he's saying daddy couldn't take it back. Daddy had already given away the blessing. He says, no matter how much old Esau cried, no matter how much he begged, daddy had already given away the blessing. And there was no blessing, no birthright blessing left for him. God says, let's not put ourselves in the same position. Let's not put ourselves in the same position. We can't go back and get what we spiritually lost. So how about we just not lose any of it? You know, we're saved by the grace of God. We're living for Him today. Let's just make a commitment. We're going to keep on living for Him. Let's not have to go back and say, Lord, can I have back that last 12 years where I didn't serve you? Lord, I'm sorry. And God says, you can't go back and do it over. Let's live for Him today. Let's follow. Let's pursue peace. Let's pursue holiness. Let's look diligently towards the Lord. Let's keep our hearts and our minds clear of roots of bitterness and gall and wormwood, all that would destroy us. What's the lesson, I believe? The lesson is we should pursue holiness. We should exercise our faith. We should work for what we know. We should stay true to God. Let's close out in Ephesians chapter 2. Page 863 in your pew Bibles. God says, we're going to experience life. We are. But He wants us to experience holiness and the peace of God right now. Ephesians 2, page 863 in your pew Bibles. Here's what He says, beginning at verse 1. He says, and you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's who we used to be. But not anymore. Now we got a faith that we can exercise and we can follow after God. He says, but God, who is the author, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us up together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up. I love this verse because it is present tense. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Present tense. Exercise your faith. He says that's what He's done for us. That in the ages to come, in the future, He says, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Paul says, exercise your faith. Follow peace with all men. And holiness. He says, without which no man shall see the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful for the book of instructions You've given us today. You told us, Lord, that we're to follow peace. Peace in our worship, in our praise. Peace, Father, in our discipleship. Peace, Father, in our outreach. Peace in our living. Father, that we should follow after holiness. And we should rest on this one very important truth, that without our holiness, Father, without your holiness, I should say, no man shall see the Lord. Impress that in our hearts. Place it before our eyes, Father. Place it on our minds so that we might not ever forget that it's your desire that we obey your commands, that we keep your covenant, that we be a peculiar treasure to you, Lord, and that you promised us that you would make us a kingdom of priests, a kingdom of those who are worthy of bringing our praise and our offerings, our sacrifices, our prayers, to bring our all before your Father and cast it at your feet. I pray, Lord, that there be one who doesn't have that special relationship with you, that you might draw them unto yourself. Show them, Father, the plan of salvation, the work of Christ. Then show them that holiness that you've set aside for us. Show us all, Father, how to reach for that, how to work for that until your return for us, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.